This morning, I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ again. I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for the fellowship, for the hospitality, and for the invitation. My family enjoyed the weekend, and so I just want to say thank you from my whole family for everything. And so this morning, as I open up the Word, we can share a lot of practical things and talk what we should do. And, you know, I realize yesterday's message might have been a little bit more of a sobering message, but, you know, what I want to share on today, I believe, is probably the most important thing of all. And I've titled the message, Faith-Based Choices. Faith-Based Choices. You know, the scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And faith, as I look through the scripture, I see that faith always move people into action. Faith demanded a response. And so I always, I encourage my wife, you know, that we are moving forward in faith and raising our family, raising our children. We're looking to God. God has promised to help. We need His help. We're looking to Him by faith. And so, this isn't where I'm going to go, but I just, for a little opening thought here on faith, if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 35. Here, just a little thought on faith. It says, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. I'm sorry, did I say chapter 5? It's Mark 4, 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And so Jesus here, he was teaching the multitudes, and it was evening, I think, and he told his disciples to get in a boat, we're going over the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. So here's this storm come, and the winds were blowing, the water was coming over the sides of the ship, and it says that it was filling up with water. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? Then he asked him a question, How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So here they were. They had the multitudes, and they were teaching them. And Jesus said, Let us get into the boat, and let's pass on over to the other side. And Jesus went in the back of the ship, laid his head on a pillow, and went to sleep. But his disciples were fearful. If they would have had faith in what Jesus says, let us pass on over to the other side, they could have been asleep on a pillow too in the midst of the storm. You know, we face storms, we face trials, but you know, when Jesus says, check. Okay, I think I'm back on. Thank you. When Jesus says something, that's how it's going to be. Jesus says, let us pass over the other side. If they'd had faith in what he said, they would have knew, despite the storm, that they were going to come to the other side, and they could have rest. And so I want to encourage you all, you know, as you go forth, God has promised to help you. God has promised to be with you. God has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. As you face challenges, you can have faith that God will help you through it. You can be at peace in your heart. You don't need to get all fearful. He says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And so have another place. He says, have faith in God. And so Jesus says, let us pass over to the other side. And if we do have faith in his word and do what he says, guess what? We're going to pass over to the other side. That's faith. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. By God's grace, we're all looking forward to pass over to the other side someday with our families and with our children. And so we can, as we walk in purity and holiness and by faith. And so I'm turning to Hebrews chapter 11 now. I shared earlier that faith always moved people into action. And so Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for they that come to him must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And so here we see that Noah believed God's words. It propelled him into action. Noah prepared this ark by faith. And it says that being warned of God of things not seen, he didn't see anything. He just had the word. The word of God said there was judgment coming, but he moved forward with faith. And you and I, as fathers and mothers, and each one of you, we also have a warning. We have a warning that judgment is coming. We have a warning that the end of the world is coming. We have a warning that we are going to meet God face to face someday. And so that in itself should propel us to move forward with faith in God's word and prepare. And so many people miss this aspect of life, that they have no fear of God. They're not taking heed to the coming judgment, and therefore they don't move forward with faith. You know, if they would believe that there is a judgment coming, truly believe that there's a judgment coming, they would do something. It would propel them into action. They would get right with God. They would repent of their sins. They would get born again, like Jesus says. If they believe that, truly believe in their hearts that there's a judgment coming, as the scripture says in Hebrews, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so Noah here was warned of things not seen before. God told Noah there was a rainstorm coming, and that it would rain so much that the whole earth would be covered, even the highest mountain. Now, you know, imagine every one of you, if you've never saw rain before, it has never rained before. God watered the earth and things with the mist that came up out of the ground, it says. They never saw rain coming, water falling from the sky like we do. And so this was a little hard, maybe a little harder concept for them to grasp their mind around. This was something that was never seen before. But yet by faith, Noah believed it, and it propelled him into action. Noah made a choice based on faith for his family's future. Well-being, his choice or decision to build the ark was totally by faith. And here today, many of us have made faith-based choices for our lives and families when we converted and left darkness behind us and started to walk in light and changed our ways and changed the course of our direction. We left dark settings, but these faith-based choices need to continue all the days of our life. It's not a one-time thing. You know, those first choices, they needed to happen, but it needs to continue to happen. Our children need to see the power of God in our lives, that we are truly living by faith and making faith-based choices. And so, with that, I'd like for you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul says this, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Remember what I was just sharing earlier, that it's not a one-time thing. You need to continue. Here Paul is saying that your love towards Jesus Christ may abound more and more. You know, when I think of the picture of abounding, I think of a deer at full speed, abounding. That your love towards Christ may abound more and more like that deer. I mean, I think, you know, a deer at full speed could probably be through here in about 2 leaps, possibly, at their full speed through this tent. And so just to give you a picture of that word abound, that you would abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That word judgment is discernment, that you would abound in discernment. As you grow closer with the Lord Jesus Christ, he expands your knowledge. He makes his will known, and he gives you discernment, that you're able to discern good from evil. And then he says that you may approve things that are excellent. You know, as you go through life, not every little detail in life that you and I face is spelled out just word for word in the scripture. For example, you know, nowhere in the scripture does it say, you know, that you shouldn't have a TV. But, you know, we have made a faith-based choice for our families that, you know, for our children to be on a screen continually is not going to stand the test of the time with someone else, an outside influence, teaching your children. Nowhere in the scripture. And so he says that you may abound yet more and more knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you have discernment to discern. Don't just take something in that you see someone else has. Use discernment. Seek the Lord on it. It says that you may approve things, that you would test them. Example, when David put on Saul's armor to go fight Goliath, he put him on, and all of a sudden he says, "I can't go like this. I haven't proved him. I haven't tested him. It's not going to work." David would have been a sitting duck if he'd have went, because Saul would have told him. He tested it, and he said, "This is not going to work." And so that you approve things that are excellent. And then he goes on to say why, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Christ has not returned yet. Christ is returning someday. Until that day comes, God's desire is that you're without offense. And you're going to need knowledge and judgment, discernment to do that. being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And so, just want to encourage you that you walk by faith. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God." For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're abounding in love more and more toward Jesus Christ, and He's giving them knowledge. They're having discernment. And as I think of that, my mind goes to a verse in Hebrews, I think chapter 5. I'm going to turn there real quick. Verse 11, I'm just going to read a couple verses here. It says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Then he goes on to say, "For everyone that useth milk," you know, a baby needs milk. It needs milk to grow. But we know that if they stay on milk, they're not going to, something is wrong. If they're 3-4 years old and that's all they can digest yet at milk is milk, we know that we need to start doing some doctoring, find out what is wrong. And so that's what I just read in Philippians, that God wants us to abound in love more and more, that we may have knowledge and discernment. He goes, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And so we read here in Philippians that God wants us to be able to discern, that you may approve things that are excellent. And here he says that you have your senses. God wants you to move on with him, know more of him, that you are able to use your senses, that they're exercised, that you have the ability to discern what is good and evil. And I just want to make that an application for your family, because with your family, you need to be able to discern both what is good for your family and what is evil for your family. And that comes by having your senses exercised, reading the Word of God and walking with Him. Testing this decision. What kind of effect will the decision I am making today have on me and my family 20 years from now? If I make a choice right now, I don't have any example on me, but just an example of if make a choice, what effect is this going to have on my family in 20 years from now? Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." We all know that when we sow something in the field or plant something in the garden, usually the results of the sowing are a few months or so down the road, right? The reaping is a few months or so down the road. And a lot of times with spiritual things, it's maybe a couple years down the road. Sometimes not. Sometimes it's sooner. But I want you to notice that there's some shalls in there. It says, "That shall he also reap." And if you're going to sow to the flesh, you shall reap of the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall. It's not maybe. It says you shall. You are going to. You're going to reap. And so, just want to encourage you, because our choices here that we make will have an effect 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. And then have the final effect in eternity forever. We're talking about the souls of children. We're talking about the souls of men and women. Is this choice that I am about to make based on the flesh, or is it based on the Spirit of God leading me, knowing that it's going to reap life everlasting? Small choices lead to big things. Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, realized that. I still have a hard time grasping that I can order this small package, not any bigger than this, maybe a $5 item, and it'll show up at my door day after day. But he understood the value of small things. And today, he has one of the biggest businesses in the U.S. and the world, and one of the wealthiest men, because he understood the value of a small package. I mean, you can take a 3x3x4 package. He understands the value of that. And I just use that illustration. You know, he has small packages being delivered from house to house, the house to house, all across the U.S., all across the world, day after day, 7 days a week, almost 365 days a year, and it has made him one of the wealthiest people in the world, and he has a thriving business called Amazon. I'm sure most of you are familiar with that. And so he understood the value of people's small decisions, small choices. People want to buy a $5 item, I'm here to help you. And he has taken that thing because of small choices, small items, and it has grown into what it is today. And it's the same way. That effect of your small choices today is going to affect generations to come, for years to come, for eternity to come. Those small choices you make for your family. And so that's why I've titled the message, Faith-Based Choices. Make your choices, every choice, make it in the light of eternity. What effect will this have if I have grandchildren, if I have great-grandchildren? What effect is it going to have on them? Back to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's take a look at some of Moses' choices. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughters, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so here in verse 24, Moses is living in the king's palace. He was raised by the princes. He was found in the water by the princes. A life of royalty, probably anything a person could possibly imagine or want, is at the tip of his fingers. The food, the royal clothing, everything is there. Verse 25, all the pleasures is there. Sin is, he can enjoy his flesh to the fullest, including sin. It's all there. It's his. He has free access to it. Brother Steve shared about having access. He had access to it. And so, Verse 26, he has all the wealth, all the money you could possibly want was there. You have riches. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And, you know, maybe even in Egypt here, he had the possibility of being Pharaoh one day, the ruler of Egypt. But Moses made some choices. Look at verse 25, choosing. He made a faith-based choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin. In verse 26, we see Moses looking into eternity and looking to Christ and making a faith-based choice and making a decision for his life that is going to alter the course of his life and his eternity. Verse 27 there, he says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. See, that is what faith is. Faith is looking to him who's invisible. We can see God's creation around us today, but we cannot see God with the physical eye. And so Moses made a choice based on him, on eternity, looking to the one who is invisible. If you go to a graveyard, you'll see a date. Just say 1950 and a dash and a 19, we'll just put 1925 on the other side. That dash is about that long. That is your life. That is, the scripture says your life is but a vapor. But then you go into eternity, that line goes on and 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 on forever. And so most people make their decisions based on that short line versus basing their choices on the long line in their long home. Ecclesiastes says your long home. Most people base their choices on that short line instead of choosing and basing their choices, looking into eternity on that long line where your long home is. Most of us in our homes, we like change in our homes. You know, sometimes they rearrange things just because maybe it looks a little old, desire a little change. But in your long home, nothing is ever going to be changed. It's going to be the same. And so you need to base your life choices by faith on the long home and not base your life choices on that short line between that dash between the tombstones on the dates that appease to your flesh. And that's what Moses was doing here. He was basing his decisions here. He had everything he could possibly want in that little dash there in Pharaoh's house. But he based his choice. It says choosing. He chose. He made a decision. He made a faith-based choice that was going to bless him in eternity. And so, fathers and mothers, the choices you make, you will reap from them with your family. And so I encourage you to sow according to the Spirit, and you will reap blessings, you will reap life, you will reap what you sow. Philippians says, approve things that are excellent, that you may be without offense to the day of Christ. You know, even my just practical things, you know, even my business choices, do they take too much time away from the family? What are my goals in business? Is it to provide for the family and have to give, or to see how big I can grow it and how much wealth I can accumulate? By faith, Moses rejected the treasures of Egypt. Most people can't handle riches. You know, riches and pleasures go hand in hand. Excuse me. Luke 8, verse 14 says, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. And so I just encourage us that come to a place of contentment. If we make our choices to raise our children in riches and pleasures, it's not going to bring forth the right fruit. I have a little grape arbor there at home, and as I pick the grapes, sometimes there's little, you know, you have these nice, big, plush grapes on the thing, and on the same clump, there will be maybe three or four dried up ones that never came to perfection. And that's what Jesus says here, that riches and pleasures of this life, they bring forth no fruit to perfection. You're just going to bring forth that somehow it has a tendency to, because we give our time and effort to it, and it takes away from our family, and then our family is struggling, and we wonder why they're not this plush grape. And maybe it's because dad is not taking enough time. They're seeing where dad's passions are. You know, I am no way, shape, or form saying we can't have business. I have one. But what I am saying is never being content, growing and growing it to just to where it's, where do we find a place as contentment? Christ is in need of labors. He says, lift up your eyes unto the harvest. And he says, the fields are already white unto harvest. The labors are few. Our children need us to see us make faith-based choices that we truly believe God's word. Contentment with godliness is great gain, the scripture says. And the reason I'm sharing this, it ties the father up and away from his family, and it's a choice that will bring forth no fruit to perfection. Even the choices of music you listen to will affect your eternity. Base your choices by looking to him who's invisible. And I would like to turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. And we have three young men here who made some choices with their music because they feared him who's invisible. Daniel chapter 3. And we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here. Many of us are familiar with the story. And if you remember what I shared the first evening on teaching, and this is why I bring this one up, you give little children a CD player and a song that you would like for them to learn. They listen to it over and over and over and over. Pretty soon they have it because the ear is the avenue and the key to the heart. And so we look at Daniel here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel chapter 3, verse 12. Here where we know the story here that the king Nebuchadnezzar here, he called all the princes and the captains together, and he made this image, and they were to play all kinds of music. Excuse me. They were to play all kinds of music, and as they played this music, they were to fall down and worship this image. And as they were told to do this, they stood their ground. They did not fall because they made a faith-based choice on the music that they were going to bow to. They were the oddballs in the crowd. They stood alone. And sometimes it's what it takes. And we jump down to verse 14. Verse 14, and Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made a faith-based choice out in the crowd, and now they are in the presence of the king, and again they are making a faith-based choice. In verse 16 through 18, they made a faith-based choice out by the, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of people that were there. And now they're in the presence of the king, the one who holds who's threatening to kill them. And again, they make a faith-based choice in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, he's giving them a second chance to worship the image, his God. And they answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And what I noticed here in verse 12, they said, O king, have not regarded thee, they serve not thy gods. Many times the music has gods attached to it. Whether you believe that or not, I'm a firm believer of that. And so they were looking into eternity, the one who is invisible, and made a faith-based choice. And so music is a big one. If you as a family are not listening to godly music that worships the King of Kings and Lord of Lords only, it's not going to lead you to him, but to other gods. And I've seen that over and over in my life. For example, if I'm out witnessing at a country concert, most people are in tight-fitting jeans, cowboy hats. See, it's what they're listening. And it brings out a lifestyle. It brings out, it's the country god. And therefore, it has its effect. And it's going to have its effect in eternity. And then if they're worshiping the god of the god of country. And then if I go to a rock concert and witness, there's a place I go there in Columbus. They are dressed up with their demonic logos and horns and on their clothing and just anything demonic that you want to possibly see. And so music has gods attached to them. And so, you know, God says that he will inhabit the praises of his people. And so if our music is glorifying to God, God will inhabit it, he says. He says he will come, the scripture actually says, come into his presence with singing. God inhabits music that glorifies him. And so all music, I believe, has gods attached to it. And there's music that has the living God attached to it. And so I just encourage you, as you listen to music, make faith-based choices for your family. And then you see many professing Christians, they take the same music, the country and the Christian rock, and they put Christian words to the music, but it has the same effect on those people who do that as I see out there. It has the same effect. It brings out the same clothing. It brings out the same lifestyle. And so I plead with you today that you would just make faith-based choices because it will affect your children in eternity. Remember, the choices that I make today will affect generations to come. I shared yesterday of how the children, Friday evening, how the children of Israel, they'd have revival, and somebody in there would make choices that weren't good, and generations were lost. So make faith-based choices. The impact of choice of friendships, wrong friendships, good friendships. I encourage you, make young people, children, make friendships with people who are making faith-based choices based on eternity, because it will affect your eternity. The scripture says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And so I want to also encourage you, get your children excited about the things of God. Just living life isn't going to raise soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make choices. Teach them to sing when they are young. Make avenues for them to minister to people with their singing. The shut-ins are, wherever you can bless, use your children. Get them excited about the kingdom of God. Help them to pass out tracts. And they start to get excited. They start seeing things happening as they're ministering. You know, the Christian life is not a boring life. It's an exciting life. But you see, we are a people who desire action. We desire activities. We desire to see. We're not people who just want to sit around and humdrum, but people are missing out on the excitement of the Christian life because they're not making faith-based choices. As you get out and minister as Jesus desires for us to, life can get exciting and your children get involved. And so I'm just encouraging you, get excited. Children get excited what dad and mom get excited about. If we're excited about business, we probably are going to make businessmen. Look at Timothy, an evangelist and a pastor traveling with Paul on his missionary trips, a young man, a prospering young man. I mean, he's seeing many wonderful things of God happening. He's seeing people getting healed. He's seeing many things. You know, just one little incident, years ago I had a tract that I gave to someone. They tried to light the thing on fire, and I just had a moment of inspiration that God's not going to let you burn it. And the guy tried and tried. He had a Hippo lighter. I don't know if I mean you know what a Hippo lighter is. They shoot a flame this high, and he couldn't burn it. And today I have it on in my office, hanging up as a memory. And so my son, he passes out a tract, and the guy tore it up and gave him back half of it, and so he puts it beside mine. You know, that's what I'm speaking about. Get your children excited. Philip the evangelist had four daughters, and they had guests at their house. Paul and his company arrive, and they are ministering the words of life. There's excitement in the house about the kingdom of God. And then another visitor shows up, and he's the prophet Agabus. He comes in the house and starts prophesying. He takes Paul's girdle. He takes Paul's belt. A girdle is a belt, and he binds it around his arms. And, there's excitement in that home about, and he tells the man who owns this girdle is going to be taken prisoner. He's having an interesting object lesson in their home. There's excitement in the home because of God, because of Philip is making some faith-based choices in his life, and his daughters have caught the vision. They're excited. And they're having an interesting time. It wasn't a boring home. It was an exciting. And so my encouragement, make some faith-based choices. You know, just another example of, you know, how things can get exciting. Last fall, we as a family, we were at a concert preaching. I went the whole family. And coming home, we left early in the afternoon, 2, 3 o'clock. And so we didn't have supper. And the way home, about 8:30, I just swung into a pizza shop and grabbed 3 pizzas for the family. And we get home, and I jump out and grab them, take them in the house. The rest of the family is coming. All of a sudden, my son Elijah comes running. Dad, there's a bunch of police here. And we felt it was an attack from the enemy. Somebody reported us and told him to come do a welfare check. But, you know, it brings excitement. They see the power of God at work. And so I just make faith-based choices for your family to get your family excited in the kingdom of God. And so Noah, he made some faith-based choices. Moses made some faith-based choices. And so do our children see our faith in action? The scripture says there in Hebrew, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Hebrews, I'm going to close with these couple verses here in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that such say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They plainly declare. They embrace them. Embrace faith-based choices. Live it out. And confess that they were strangers. Live as strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then it says, and they that say such things declare plainly that they're seeking a better country. They're seeking him who's invisible. And then verse 15 says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so you have all, you and I, we're surrounded with opportunities to return to the country we came from. It says here, if we're mindful of that country, there's opportunity to go back. We can go back to it. I mean, and so I share this today that we constantly, as we are surrounded with all the opportunities to go back to our old life, to our old sinful ways, and or even just, the, as Luke 8 says, the cares of life choke the word out. We have all this, we're surrounded with all those opportunities. They're galore, they're unending. But you continually need to make faith-based choices that shows that you are plainly declaring that you are seeking another country. So I'll leave you with those thoughts. And again, I bless you all for your fellowship and for your hospitality. And Lord bless you all. We love you all.